It is wonderful to be back among you. I missed the congregation. We had a nice trip up into the hill country, and we got to, well, at least I got to look at some deer. Darla got to visit, and we had a good time, met some interesting people, met some new people that we did not know, and had a very good and productive visit with the Lakey congregation. If you don't have a contact card, you should have a contact card in your book of John. It should be in the book of John, chapter 4, I guess. Somewhere in the book of John, you should have a contact card as a bookmark. If you don't have one of those, we're going to pass those out tonight. We're going to get into that. But if you don't have one of those, let me know. I can get you one. If not, I'm going to pass some out tonight. Also, how many of you are daily Bible readers? Let me see a show of hands. Get your hands up high enough that that Duke can count so he doesn't miss anybody. But he's going to count those. We're doing well. This is doing great. I don't know about y'all, but for me, it's been a great thing. I get real discouraged when I crawl in bed at night and pick up my Bible to read and realize I hadn't read any. I got a lot to read before I go to bed. But I try to get mine read every single day before I get time for bed if I can. But it doesn't always happen. He's got it. All right. Thank you all very much. I'd like to encourage each and every one of you to keep this up. It's been a blessing to me, as it has been for others. I've had others tell me the same thing, that it's a blessing to them. We try to read our Bibles, and sometimes it just kind of falls by the wayside. We get busy and we get distracted. But if you're having a difficult time staying focused on that, I've got a few prescriptions that may help. The book of Proverbs, one chapter a day. Just pick the date on the calendar. That's the chapter you read. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. Monday through Friday, you can read a chapter from the book of James. There's 5 chapters in the book of James. Those chapters are encouraging words that will help us to deal with life issues, but also they will help us to get into the phraseology of the Bible and make it easier and easier for us to read. The more we read that, the easier it gets. The Bible is the number one selling book of all time. No other book reads quite like it. It takes the serious Bible student only a minute of time of reading something that is false doctrine that claims to be the Word of God to realize that it is not the Word of God. I remember when I was in Mason, Texas, it's been about probably 30 years ago, maybe not quite that much, 25 years ago, and I was hunting there, and a man there has asked me, he says, "You ever seen the Book of Mormon?" And I said, "No, I never have." He was a Methodist preacher. He said, "Well, I just happen to have a copy." He said, "I caught a guy at the county dump. He was throwing them in there and burning them because they had updated their version, their translation, and they had made changes to it. And they were taking all the old ones and they were burning them so that nobody could see the mistakes that they found." After he left, I managed to poke around in there and get a few of them out that hadn't burned. "And I'll give you one and you can read it." He said, "Just keep this in mind. It's fiction." That's the last thing he said. And I was relatively young at the time. And I started reading it. And it didn't take me but a few pages. And I thought, this is garbage right here. I could tell that it wasn't inspired by God. It was written by man. And it was like somebody was trying to, if you took a fourth grader and said, "I want you to write this, but I want you to write it like the Bible writes it." And that's what it looked like to me. John chapter 7 and verse 17. John chapter 7 verse 17 says, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." Jesus says, you will know. The Bible contains God's desire for man in this lifetime or in our lifetime. And he expects us not only to read it, but he expects us to study it and to understand its statutes and know what it is commanding to us. We can't just say, take somebody's word for it. The Bible says you got to be a good person. Okay, that's good enough. What else? The Bible says that there's a God and that his son died for us. Okay, what else? Well, that's all you need to know. If you believe it, yeah, I believe it. Okay, you're saved. That's not enough. God tells us that we need to study 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Here it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." If it tells us that we study this so that we can rightly divide the truth, then that means that God expects us to divide the truth and to be able to understand it. When dividing the truth, some people scratch this and say, what does that exactly mean? It means that I can look at the verse that says that I shouldn't commit adultery and I know he's talking to me. When I look at a verse that says, go out and build an ark, I know he's not talking to me. Okay, so I can divide the truth and I can make a distinction between what is for us today and what is just an example to us as to how God expects us to live. So this verse assures us or reassures us that it is possible to know God and know what God expects from us, and the Bible can be understood. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17 says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Do not be unwise, but you need to understand what the will of God is. The problem that we have in the world today is that not that the Bible doesn't provide all we need, but rather that people have a lack of desire to know it. People have a lack of desire to know it. People sometimes just don't want to know what the Bible says. Or they just, "Can you just tell me what it means?" How many times have you, guys, how many times have you taken the directions for something? You're going to cook something. Okay, I got to cook it. I got to follow the directions. You pick up the directions and you start reading it. Preheat the oven to 450. Crank it up to 450. Okay, open the package and put it on. I don't need this anymore. That goes in the trash. That goes in the trash. And then you put it in the oven. And it starts cooking. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Go get it out of the trash. Wait a, okay, now I got to do this and do this. And okay, I don't need that anymore. And then go, got to go get it out of the trash again. Right? We don't want to go through the directions. We don't want to go through all the trouble of reading the directions. It's everybody has done that at one time or another. But when it comes to the Bible, we need to read that for ourselves. We need to get into the Word of God until the Word of God gets into us. We need to take the time and read it. If I get up here and I quote a verse and you're like, "Yeah, he's probably right. That ain't good enough." Question everything I say. Question everything I do. Not with your own questions, but with what the Bible says. If I say something that's not in Scripture, call me out on it. Let's look it up and let's see what if that's what the Word of God says. We want to follow the Word of God. Nothing more, nothing less. Only the Word of God. I know some people might say, "Well, I want to know the truth," but in reality, they don't, because if they did, they would be searching diligently for it. However, here's what happens. Satan is not new at this. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago in a sermon, Satan is working harder to keep you out of heaven than most people are working to stay in heaven. Okay, so I'm not, don't get me wrong, don't think that it means that we have to work our way into heaven. But we have to work at staying faithful to God, and if we don't stay faithful to God, we won't make it to heaven. Luke chapter 15 and verse 8. Luke chapter 15 and verse 8. Here there's a parable of a woman. It says, "Either that what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it." Okay? So he's given this parable. And this story shows that when someone can't find that which is valuable, they look diligently for it. She didn't say, "Well, I know it's in here somewhere, so that's good enough. It'll turn up one of these days." She must not value it very much, or she wouldn't say that. What would you say if you had four children and got ready time to put them in bed and there's only three there? "Oh, the other one's around here somewhere. He'll turn up. He'll turn up. Yeah, he's around here somewhere." No, no. You're in a public place. You get in a car. One of your kids isn't there. He'll be here. He'll come around. He'll be here soon enough. No, we wouldn't do that. Right? If something's valuable, we're going to look for it. And so when I mentioned Satan working hard to keep us out of heaven, Satan will distract you. He will distract you to where you won't seek that. "Oh, it's good, it's good, it's good." Imagine if you looked in your bank account and you had X amount of dollars. "That's exactly what I'm supposed to have." Next week you look in there, "That's exactly what I'm supposed to have." "Wait a minute, I paid some bills since then. That doesn't make sense." Next week, "That's exactly what I'm supposed to have." Somebody's doing something here. This ain't right. I have more money than I should have. I've already paid $500 out of there and nothing has changed. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. I better check into that. You would look into it if you looked in there and you put $1,000 in the bank and then you check your statement and you only got $300 in there. Hey, somebody ripped me off. You'd look into it right away, right? Satan is the one that's keeping that account, making it look like it's okay all the time. So you don't check it. Okay, so what happens is we think we're okay. We don't even check the scriptures, what the scriptures say. "I'm good. I got this." I don't say we. Mostly the world in general has been fed lies by Satan enough to make them believe things that aren't so. That's not there. The same goes for someone's salvation. Some have been convinced, if you will, that they are saved. So they stop their search. "I don't have to look for anything else. I don't really have to. I can read the Bible," but they read it casually like reading the newspaper. They don't study it. They don't understand exactly what happened. The Bible is laid out in such a way, and we saw this morning as we went through the book of Joshua, that all of this stuff is laid out and it's tied together from the very first verse in Genesis to the very last verse in Revelation. Everything is tied together in a way that man could not have put it together. It could not have been possibly done. 40 different authors over 1,600 different years, there's no way it could have been put together by man, and man come up with it and say, "Hey, let's do this." If you ever studied Bible numerics, you'll find that the numbers even add up in ways that man's mind can barely even fathom, much less come up with on his own. So we think about this. Many times people have the attitude, well, I have salvation. I can feel it. I have it. I can feel it. I felt this. I felt moved. I read a story one time where the guy was a Pentecostal. He grew up in a Pentecostal church and he became a Pentecostal preacher. And he said the turning point for him was he asked God to show him a sign. And he was in his barn and he felt real close to God. And he said, God, if you would just give me a sign. He put his head down to pray. And all of a sudden a light lit up the feed trough. And he's like, there's my sign. And he went and he started proclaiming God's word and he became a very, very well-known preacher. One day he started reading scriptures. He found out there was a lot of things he was doing wrong. And he started studying. He studied his way out of that religion. But he never could get out of his mind that day there in that barn. And so he went back to the old farmhouse and his old house was run down. The barn was still there. And he goes out in the barn and he's standing there and he's trying to figure out what it is. And he says, I don't know what I was doing. I was standing about right here. And I prayed and he said, man, and he put his head down and there's that light in the feed trough. And he lifted his head up and he put his head down and he looked, lifted his head up and he put his head in the light and he looked, there's a hole in the roof. He put his head down, the light went over him. He put his head back up, it disappeared. He had mistaken something as a sign when it wasn't a sign at all. Many times people are convinced of something because of something's in their heart. I can remember when I was a teenager, we moved out of our home that we had grown up in and we moved to a little house on the other side out by the high school. And I can remember very distinctly, I remember that the window in the bathroom, standing there taking a shower and the window in the bathroom looked out and I thought, you know, people could see in this window and the neighbor's house had this, there was two houses that were exactly the same. And I thought, that's weird. Why was I thinking about it? I was recently thought about that. So one day I'm coming home to work. I drive down that road. And I was like, I want to see that old house we lived in. Neither one of those houses, they were cookie cutter houses. So I figured the house that we were in had a window in the bathroom. And the house that neighbors were in had a window. Neither one of those houses have a window on that side of the house. And they have that old asbestos siding. So it's not like somebody changed it and covered up the window since I was there. Why does my mind remember that? I don't know. But sometimes we remember things and we think of things and we fail to look into it any further. I've looked into that and I know that whatever my memory is telling me there was a window on that house, it wasn't there. So we need to look into the Word of God sometimes. If you believe something and you don't have Scripture to back it up, look into it. Then maybe your memory playing tricks on you. You ever heard people say that? I think my memory may be playing tricks on me. It will do it. It can do it. So we think about this. People say, well, I can feel it. I got this feeling. I just got this feeling. I felt that feeling when I saw that light in the feed trough. God's word never alludes to a salvation of feelings. There's never any salvation account in the Bible. There's no history of it. There's no examples of it anywhere where somebody says, they just got this feeling and they were saved. It's never there. It's just not. Others don't really even care. They just don't seek God's word because they're not interested. They're just out there and it's like, whatever. Life is life. I don't care what happens. Even some people believe in God, but they won't seek God out because they don't feel like it's important. When Jesus and the apostles were preaching, some people were not interested either at that time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be condemned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. He said they received not the love of the truth. It wasn't that the truth wasn't there for them. They received not the love of the truth. If you love the truth, you will seek it out. I'll never forget, B.J. Clark came and he spoke here years ago, and he told a story of when he was a young man and he was dating his girlfriend, and he would drive to another town to see her and drive back, and he talking about dedication and how dedicated he was, and if he told her, look, what's the minimum amount of time that I can spend with you? She would not have thought that he cared much, right? And he tells a story of a book that a girl was asked to read when she was in college. And she got the book and she had to read it cover to cover. And she said it was the most boring book she'd ever read in her life. She thought, oh, this book is horrible. It's like trying to swallow nails or something. It's terrible. It's so boring. It's dry. It's dull. It's boring. I can't stand it. And so she put the book in a closet in a box with all of her college books. And one day she meets a man and they fall madly in love. And they're just in love with each other. They can't get enough of each other. They want to spend every waking moment with each other. And they want to breathe each other's air. That's all they want to do is be together. And then so one day they're trying to talk about things. It was, what do you know? What is there about you that I may not know? Is there some things about you that I may not know? Let's talk about ourselves and so that we can get to know each other even better. And she tells him a few things and he tells her a few things. And then he says, oh, I got it. He said, I know. You know, I once wrote a book. And she goes, really? And he says, yeah, I wrote a book and it wasn't that good of a book. I published it and it was used in some colleges and stuff. And she goes, what was the name of it? And he tells her the name of it, and she thought, oh my, that was that horrible book that I read. It was so boring and so dry. Oh. So she goes up, he leaves, and she's thinking, oh, what am I going to do? So she goes up and she digs through her box in the attic, and she pulls that book out and she opens the cover and she starts reading and she can't put it down. And she reads page after page after page. The phone rings, she ignores it. The doorbell rings, she ignores it. Nighttime comes, she ignores it. She turns on the light. She reads the book cover to cover. She can't get enough of it. The most wonderful book she's ever read. You know what changed? She was in love with the author. The second time she read it, she was in love with the author. You wonder why people can't get into the Bible? They're not in love with the author. It's a boring book. It's just not a, it's a book about genealogy. It's just a boring book written by a bunch of old, boring people. If you're in love with the author, you won't be able to put it down. The Word of God is strong. It is powerful. We won't be able to put it down. I never could understand why someone would seek God, but only on their own terms. Worship in ways contrary to Scripture, but this verse that I just read in 2 Thessalonians explains it. They received not the love of the truth. It is therefore difficult for anyone to learn much about the truth who do not have a desire to learn the truth. They are as those in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning and never able to... You think about that. There are people that are studying the Bible right now that are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Just don't have the right attitude. They're not in it for the right things or whatever. God will guide you to the truth. It can happen. We must have an eager desire to learn of what God expects of us. An eager desire to study God's Word. How many Bible readers we have up there? I think there's 27 on the board. Okay, so that number, it fluctuates. Sometimes we miss. Sometimes Charlie, he don't read one day, and so then he's out for the whole week. He misses one day, he's out. He won't raise his hand because he didn't read. He may have read a verse or two, but if he can't remember it, he's not going to raise his hand. I'm sure there are others the same way. But you look at that. We're eager. We're getting into the Word of God. Getting into the Word of God. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. I've actually seen people skip over Scripture that did not agree with their own personal beliefs. And they'll just skip that altogether. David Hopkins told me once of an aunt that he had that he told her something and she said, no, that's not true. And he said, well, look, I'll show you right here it is in the Bible. And he opened his Bible and he says, that it's right there. And she goes, not in my Bible. And he goes, sure it is. He said, what Bible translation are you using? She goes, I'm probably using the same one you're using. And he said, well, then it's right there. It's very clear right here. And she says, well, let me see. And she pulls her Bible out and she opens the pages of it. And right there, on the page, she was right. It wasn't in there. She had taken a knife and she had cut out that passage because she didn't want to obey it. And she said, well, it's not in my Bible. I don't have to obey it. That sounds really bizarre and sounds really ridiculous, but the ignorance of some people will astound you. The next problem people have with the truth is their hesitancy to remove religious prejudice. Someone may have a sincere heart, desire to know the truth, but they are so biased in their opinions that they refuse to see the plain truth that is before them. I see what it says, but I refuse to believe that. I had a man tell me that over in Poteet. I see what it says, but I refuse to believe that. I see what it says, but I refuse to believe that. I refuse to believe that. Well, you're telling me that belief is one of the most common principles of biblical or of Scripture, and yet you're telling me in the same sentence, you don't believe what it says. I just can't believe that. I see what it says, but I can't believe that. Remember the lady that lost the coin in Luke chapter 15? How does she know that she even had it in the first place? Well, she knew she had it because she had it there. Well, Think about this. You have you ever purchased something and when you got it home, you open the box, find out something was missing? Oh man, it doesn't have a cord. Where's the cord? There's no cord. It's worthless. Got to take it back to the store. What happens when you open something that some assembly required? We had Christmas presents like that. Some assembly required forever. Darla's brother was helping us. He was over there putting bikes together and swing sets together and whatever. Well, he got us back. He had 4 kids. And so, oh yeah, come up for Christmas, he said. It'll be fun, he said. Yeah, up all night putting stuff together, right? Well, one thing that you notice in the directions, those that we throw on the ground like the recipe, right? One thing you'll notice in the directions, there's a list at the beginning of that that says, here are the items that you will need, and here are the items that are in the box. Check and make sure. You can ask my wife, when I get that box, I take it out and I lay everything out. This is this, this is this, this is this. I want to make sure it's all there. If something's missing, I got it. I'll find it. I'll go there. A lot of times we'll check before we leave the store to make sure. You ever see on the back of a package it says, batteries not included? Right? You want to know that before you leave the store because you want to buy those batteries. Unless it says it on the back of the package of batteries. Batteries not included. That's a different thing altogether. No, those are always included in the package of batteries. So we look at this. We're used to seeing that phrase, batteries not included, but it's good information to know before we leave the store. You don't want to get ripped off. You don't want to wait around for 10 years and say, well, I haven't opened the box yet, but I figured like I got what I bargained for. When someone is told that they are saved and they don't look into God's law, that's exactly what they're doing. They don't look into God's law themselves. Those Bereans search the scriptures daily, right, to see if those things were so. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 is a verse we covered very recently in an evening sermon. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Remember, we're talking about knowing and obeying the truth. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You can know the truth, and people say, well, I already know the truth. I've had people arrogantly tell me, I already know the truth. What is the truth? And they'll tell me some idea, some man's idea of something that they've made up or something that someone has taught them that is contrary to the truth. The Bible is very clear in this, in something, and they're saying, yeah, I already know the truth. Well, that's not what that says. That's not what he meant there. Well, that's what he said. Well, that's not what he meant. Okay, well, what did he mean? Well, he meant this and he meant that. I don't know if you're a psychologist or if you're a mind reader or if you're a prophet of God or what, that you can understand what somebody meant when they said something exactly as they said it. Sometimes, however, we take something out of context. We can take the Bible out of context and it will mean something that we didn't mean for it to say or that the writers didn't mean for it to say. Judas went out and hanged himself. Turn a few pages, go thou and do likewise. You're taking scripture out of context and that's not what it means, right? We have to be careful with those things. Prejudice tends to search for confirmations to conclusions already drawn. In other words, we will look for those passages that will back up what we already believe and resist the rest or reject. I've seen people who are willing to study the Bible until it conflicted their perceived notions and then they froze up and I don't want to go any farther. That's it. I don't want to know that. Why don't you want to know? This is what it says. I've also seen people say, I've studied my Bible and I've never seen that before. I don't know what that means, but I've never seen that before. I need to look into it more. I've also seen those people come to me in humility and say, you showed me something I've never seen before in my life. And I'm thankful for that because the Bible teaches us, I want to follow the Bible. Argue with me all you want, but don't argue with the Bible. Don't argue with what the Scriptures teach. And I can be wrong. I can be wrong over and over and over again, but the Scriptures don't lie and they can't be wrong. They're correct. So, are you truly sincere in your quest for the truth? Or are you simply wanting to confirm what you've already decided to be right in your mind based on some obscure passage or doctrine of men? Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, a passage that we've seen many times. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. I found a quote in an old book, and I had to read it about 3 times to really soak it up. And it was written by a man named James Harvey Robinson. And it goes like this. Of all human ambitions, an open mind, eagerly expectant of new discoveries, and ready to remold convictions, in light of added knowledge and dispelled ignorance and misapprehensions is the noblest, rarest, and most difficult to achieve. Now that's a big mouthful right there, but he's basically saying a mind that is open to all truth and willing to get rid of old false ideas in light of knowledge of more truth. So in other words, I believe this because my mother taught me this, because her mother taught her, but now I see what the scriptures teach, which is total contrary to that. I'm willing to let go of those things in order that I may embrace what God has said to me. And that's basically what he's saying. We have a tendency to grip so tightly to our beliefs that our fists are closed to anything else. When you hold the truth, nothing else will take its place. If your preconceived notions are right, there should be no fear of scrutiny. However, if they are wrong, careful examination of the truth can only lead to a better understanding of God's will and God's word. Another problem that we sometimes have is a lack of practicing common sense. When it boils down to a practical application of sound judgment, we just don't use common sense many times. Common sense and logic are often used in the scriptures over and over and over again. Common sense comes from God, and some may have more of it than others, and we see that every day. We say, this guy has no horse sense, right? We call it horse sense. He has no common sense. We often have heard the passage quoted from Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Hebrews 5 verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, the more I study, the better I get at understanding God's word. That's one of the reasons why I encourage people to read the book of Proverbs and the book of James, because the verbiage there, as we read it, and it helps even if you read it out loud, it helps you. I know every one of you at one time or another has been called on to read a scripture, and you get in there and it's like, oh, why did I volunteer for that verse? I can't pronounce. Darla read a big passage today with a bunch of hard to pronounce words. Others read, just today's Bible class had a lot of hard to pronounce names, right? And we read those things, but the more you read it, the more you'll get used to it, and pretty soon you'll be able to read those. I used to get called on all the time at Southwest during the Bible class on Wednesday night. He'd call me out to read the scriptures because I could pronounce the names, mainly because he had called me out so many times. But here and there, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. This verse is used to show that those that grow spiritually are ready to understand more. When you can take that, I'll give you more. When you can take that, I'll give you more. We do this with our kids and we understand that. When you can handle this responsibility, we'll give you more responsibility. When you can handle this responsibility, we'll give you more and more and more and more. And so the same thing goes for the Word of God. The more we study, the more we grow, the more we grow, the more we're able to understand, and the more we're able to digest. But who are those that are of a full age? The latter part of this verse says it is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Those people who are like the Bereans, Acts 17:11, and search the scriptures are the ones that grow stronger. When it comes to anything else, physics, math, history, or whatever line of study that you can come up with, we understand that the need to immerse ourselves in the text in order to grow more proficient is the norm. That's how we grow more, and that's how we come to the knowledge of more of the truth in those areas. The same thing goes for the Bible. We often rely on speculative fairy tales and daydreamers and things like that, fantasies that people have come up with and crazy ideas. Some of the religious truths, you listen to someone and they're talking about their religion, they're talking about their beliefs. We believe this, we believe that. Man, that's solid. We believe this, this, and this. Oh, that's pretty good too. And we believe this because of this, this, and this. That's ridiculous. You really think that? That's crazy stuff that has nothing to do with Scripture, and they've come up with some kind of crazy ideas. But one thing we need in order to know the truth is faith. We understand that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's not to say that the unbeliever cannot understand the Scriptures, because somebody that starts reading the Bible, they can gain faith by reading the Bible, even though they had none to begin with. And so reading the Bible or getting verses, and sometimes it may be a key verse that just triggers something somebody's head. You look at somebody and you say, man, I wish they would get closer to God. I wish they had a relationship with God. I wish they would be interested in the Scripture. And it may be that they just need to hear the right verse. And sometimes that one verse will trigger something and they, man, that's really powerful. They may hear that verse at a wedding. They may hear that verse in a sermon. They may hear it on TV, read it on a billboard, funeral, whatever. A verse comes somewhere and they're like, man, I really like that verse. That means I'd like to look into that. That may cause them to question what they just read. I'm going to see where I can if I can find that, they'll write it down and read, and you would never know. So we can. The unbeliever can understand those things just like unbelievers understand, just like any person can understand. You think about a person that goes out into the forest and they're going to set up a camp and they're going to go camping in the forest. And they get out there and they start setting up their tent and they start digging around for some rocks to make a fireplace, and they build a little ring to make a fire in, and they go to gather wood, and they find, when they get a little ways from their camp, they find a little ring of rocks with some black coals and ashes in there where a fire had been burnt once in the past. They're not going to say, "Wow, look at that. I wonder what kind of sacrifice God did here to make that." They're going to know that there was people there before they were. Somebody has been here and had a fire here before me. They'll understand that. It's easy to understand. The same thing goes for Scripture. Once they read the Scriptures, it doesn't take long to understand. This is something interesting. It doesn't take long to look at a cell phone and say, there's no way that this was designed without intelligent design. Likewise, the human hand, the human brain, the human eye, the DNA of man, whatever the case may be, there's no way it could have happened by accident, by chance, by big bang, by any of that nonsense. No more than a cell phone, a smartphone could have happened by chance, by a big bang, by happenstance or anything like that. The unbeliever will come to the realization if we can get them to the Word of God. So common sense tells the unbeliever that the complexity of man is an intelligent design, must certainly have come from an intelligent designer. Another thing to remember is that to understand a passage, we must know that in order for it to mean what we think it means, it cannot contradict another scripture. And there are some passages that are difficult when you look at them and say, well, this contradicts this. Well, if this verse contradicts this verse, then either you're misunderstanding this one or you're misunderstanding this one. Because if you understand them correctly, they will not contradict one another. So when you look at two passages and they seemingly contradict one another, you need to do a deeper study of each one to figure out which one you're misunderstanding, because they will not contradict each other. They may contradict your personal views, your personal beliefs, your personal opinions, your preconceived notions, but they will not contradict one another. God's Word does not contradict itself. And so 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible was written in such a way that we can take it and we can make use of it, make application of it, and it can help us in our everyday lives. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word perfect, if you have a King James Bible, means complete, whole. I am complete. You ever see somebody get married and they say, now I'm complete. I am complete. Or I am empty without my spouse. I am lost without my spouse. I'm without, where am I? I am complete when they complete me. We see that, right? This all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In the second chapter of Acts, it says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The apostles have set an example for us, and when they didn't understand something, they inquired further into it. And those that they taught continued in their teachings, continued to study those teachings. What are the apostles' doctrine? We think about, well, they were teaching people, and those people continued in their teachings. Their teachings are New Testament Scripture. Their teachings were the New Testament inspired Word of God, was the apostles' teachings that we read. Okay, so we look at our New Testament. That's the doctrine that the apostles were teaching to the people, and the people continued steadfastly in their doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. What a beautiful congregation we have here today when it comes to fellowship. I don't think there's a person in this congregation that doesn't understand Christian fellowship, because this congregation comes together in fellowship, right? This is what they did. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We'll wrap it up. We're blessed in that we live in a time when we have the Word of God at our fingertips. We have to go no further than our smart device. Pull it up. I have the Greek New Testament on my... I have the Bible in Greek on my phone. I have Concordance on my phone. I have three or four different Bible apps on my phone, just plain Bible apps. I have an audio Bible app. I can hit it. Play. I want to listen to Acts chapter 2. I hit Acts chapter 2, turn it on, it pipes it into my hearing aids. You ever heard voices in your head? It's very scary when it comes on and you're not expecting it, and there are voices in your head. What a wonderful time we live in that we can have access to God's Word anytime, anywhere, and people can't take it away from us. But beware, because with that technology also comes a lot of lies and a lot of false doctrine. There's a lot of false things out there, and there's a lot of... Satan uses those avenues also to teach people false doctrine and to draw people away from God. We have been bombarded on every side with false information and lies that Satan is promoting in order to lure us away from the truth. God's Word is ours, and we are His people. We are the chosen of God of the New Testament, and we can be His people. We need to continue to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must hear the Word of God. We must believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We must repent. Luke 13 verse 3 says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. We must put Christ on in baptism. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Finally, we must remain faithful unto death. Matthew 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.
I know that my